て、ヤドロスに聞いたと申さないと、I will be promised to be your time. What is your time to come in now? 1 John 5, 4, he that does that believes in the overcomer. The believer is the overcomer. This is the mission that overcometh the world, even our faith. And you can't overcome through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that you will be able to overcome. See the message that we're reading here comes to the same time under the churches. Now, after the first church came into existence, there are other churches instead of church, new church. We use the term new church as an institutional thing. Like it is over in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, Christ is the head of the church, even as the husband is the head of the wife, and so on. Well, it doesn't mean there's just one wife and just one husband, neither does it mean just one individual group, one church. But it's an institutional thing, same as the family in law there. Even after here, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The first promise that's made to the overcomer is the provision for eating. Well, I think we're all interested in that. I can prove that by just standing before you. And looks like Nye put on about 40 or 50 pounds. Time passed. Give to eat of the tree. The tree of life was found in the Garden of Eden. God gave them the opportunity of eating of that tree of life before they sinned. And when they had eaten of the tree that God said, thou shalt not eat of it, then he closed the opportunity of them eating from the tree of life. Lest they put forth their hand and eat of the tree of life and throw them out of the garden. He did not want them to live forever in their natural sinful state as they were then. Now, when the new heavens and the new earth come to pass, there's going to be the tree of life, or we should eat in it, on either side of the river of life. And it's in the midst of the paradise of God. That word paradise is only used three times in the Bible. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, the Lord said to the thief beside him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4, Paul talked about, called up to the paradise of God. And then in this verse, Revelation 2:7, those are the only three times where it's found. If it were translated, it would be rendered heart, a resting place. That's the meaning of the word paradise. Paradise is a resting place yonder in God's heaven for the disembodied saved. Children of God are carried to the resting place to await the resurrection of their bodies that shall be placed in the grave. All right. Then let's go to the 11th verse of this same chapter. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And I wonder why the Lord used that expression. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches 7 times. Is it superfluous language statement? No. It's used for emphasis. Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Physical death, second death. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15, 11 through 15, the term death is used 7 times. It comes from 2 different words. 4 times it comes from the Greek word necros, and that refers to the corpse, dead bodies, putrefying. Dr. Guthrie used to say putrefying, decaying, mortifying corpses. That's correct. 3 times the word thanatos is used, and that's the second death, the eternal death, the violent death, the separation from God forever. All right? Those that are blessed of the Lord here shall not be hurt of the second death, and that's the death that he's talking about, the violent death. And I'm thankful that there will be no such as that shall touch us. as children of God. They'll be glad enough for the physical death, but there's no comparison in the physical death and the second death. Isolated from God, isolated from good, isolated from everything that was profitable, pleasant to us in this world, or in eternity. Only evil, only ungodly, only suffering, only sorrow, heartbreak. That's on the other side of the violent day, second day. Blessed are they that are overcomers, because they'll not be hurt of the second day. Thank God for that statement. Now look at verse 17 of the same second chapter. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone he remaineth, which no man knoweth except he that receiveth it. Here's eating again. Folks ask me once in a while, we want to eat in eternity. Well, my goodness, Elijah, books full of eating in eternity. Folks ate before they sand. Eating didn't start when the sand came. God gave them the fruit of the tree from the garden to eat and to live by. And he's going to let us eat in the future. Jesus is going to eat with us. When he instituted the supper, he said, I'll not eat of the fruit of the vine and drink of the fruit of life until I eat it with you in my Father's kingdom. One of these days we're going to get to sit down together with Christ at the head of the table. That'll be a blessing to spirit and quality. Eat together. I've always envied those apostles. If it was after a hard night's fishing trip, next morning the Lord prepared a meal for tonight. I've never had the Lord cook anything for me to eat. I enjoyed eating it enough, I'd still like that. Look at this word manna. That's the word that he uses. Here's the manna. In the Old Testament, those Israelites came out that morning and found those wafer cakes on the ground. They cried out in the Hebrew language, manna. What is it? The question, what is it? What is it? What is it? Well, hidden manna. The recipe for this bread has never been printed yet. Why, if the women have this bread, recipe is smell like wildfire. Hidden manna. It's a hidden recipe. The others here have things to eat that we've never even thought about. God always provides the best of you. And I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written. All other black stones do not. There's going to be special stones for each overcomer. Those stones are for identification. We'll give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written. Well, I have some writings and some rings and things that have been given to me through the past with identification in them and other things that are given. The Lord is giving us a stone with a new name for each of us. I'm glad that God takes enough interest in his children to honor them in a way that it's an individual honor. God honored Abraham individually. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Now, he's going to give us a name, little child, according to his way of doing things, that would correspond either to our character, our work, deeds of the past. That's what he did to the men of old, did he not? To Jacob, he changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Because as a prince, thou hast power with God and with man. A new name giving us, well, what has been the field of overcoming? What has been the phases of your overcoming? Name given to correspond to the things that were done or as you were in life. It may be the fortune the celebrating a pillar in the Lord's church, a staunch standby upon whom people depended, looked to. It might be because of his being as he was, but somehow or other, there's an identification of great honor from the Almighty to the Overcomer in the name that's given unto him, which no man knows except Jesus receiveth it. All right, let's drop down now to the next one. Verse 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the Father shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Up until this time, all of these promises are made as special gifts to the individual without anything stated therein except the fact they were overcomers. Here, he adds, to him that overcometh and keepeth my word unto the end, the same, I'll give power over the nation. Someone is going to have power over America and Canada and Mexico and England more than one nation. Some child of God is going to have an exalted privilege of more than one nation under his supervision. Give power over the nation, plural. And he shall rule them with a lot of iron. It isn't everyone that is a good administrator. Did you know that? I imagine that there's what Brother Reed will come in. He's as good an administrator as any fellow you'll ever meet. And I say that without any hesitation whatsoever. I'll charge you actively. But now, no joke, I'm laying it down in the field. He's a good administrator. Very few people can administrate. A lot of us can follow. Others can muddle. And this, that, and the other. But very few can administrate. Mm-hmm. There was only one Moses. But that came from how many of us would take 1.5 million Jews? Sir, I couldn't even get along to 6 of them. 1.5 million Jews and deal with those rascals for 40 years. He can have any little one the Lord wants to give him, for as I'm concerned. See the point? The greatest military genius of all history, there never has been a man to run. Moses, separate and apart from every other human being that I know about in God's spirit. That's worth considering. Well, you've been entitled to more than one nation, as far as I'm concerned, didn't you? Well, thank God. God's going to deal with us according to our several abilities in eternity. He will work more, do more for the Lord. Now, too many folks, they worry themselves. In every human head, that's here, they tell you the average head has about 14 billion brain cells. Well, most of us use most of them to try to get out of most things instead of doing things with what we have. Find some other way. Learn to use those brain cells and use them for the glory of God while you're here. Once again, I say, Brother Jeffrey has stated so many, many times to us boys and students, think it is a good trick if you can do it. Mm-hmm. Learn to think for yourself. Investigate for yourself. Mm-hmm. It's good to be like a little bird and open your mouth and you see little things quick, but you're likely to get something that isn't good in that way. So, the Lord God of heaven gives it. Moses did not reach that attainment that he had in life without being yielded to whatever God wanted him to do. He's one of two men in the Bible that prayed a prayer that I wish I could pray. When Israel had so disgraced themselves before God, God said to Moses, I'll wipe these fellows off the face of the earth, and I'll take you, and I'll make a nation out of you. Well, imagine as a lad how we would have jumped at such an opportunity. Mm-hmm. But not Moses. Moses said, God, you can send me to hell, but save Israel. What man among us would be that way? See what I'm driving at? That man's entitled, as far as I'm concerned, of the exhortation that the Lord God in heaven can give and will give him. Paul is another one. Paul prayed. You can put him in the legions of the band, but save Israel. Save Israel. Save Israel. What kind of interest do I have in people that are around me, in people that need salvation and compassion to that? Lord help us. And if your little devil is out of iron, as the vessels of the potter, shall they be broken into silver, even as I received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. I'd like to know what that reward is. I'll give him the morning star. I'll tell you one thing, there's going to be some rewards that will be so outstanding, it will be like that morning star. That morning star sticks out in the canopy of heaven, and it's known around the created universe. I'll give him the morning star. All right. Then chapter 3, let's go ahead and let's move along. Chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the saints shall be clothed in white raiment. Well, I'm glad of that. I like clothing, don't you? That way we're not going to go naked in heaven. And God doesn't want us to go naked on earth. Then we'll get old Sister Polly, you knew her, over the mountain. Back when the girls came in the wire shore of Pastor Mauer in Arkansas. One of them was visiting her home one day, and the poor old soul, I'll tell you right now, like a kid, she didn't know what to do. And so she going around the house, finally she came out from the back room of the chair. She said, young lady, I don't have a dress for you, but if you can use it, you can get married. He looked right at her through that, didn't he? Wasn't like one of our preachers that was driving down on the East Page, and now when he saw a pretty girl walking on those down sidewalk, and ran into the telephone pole. What's he going to do? I'll clothe him in white raiment. White raiment. And like over in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, that raiment depicts the character and the deeds of the individual writer. White raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Well, here's a negative. You can't have a negative without a positive. Some folks will have their name blotted out of the book of life. Now, follow me, you can take it for what it's worth, you want to name it Castain is why. I believe that every individual that's ever been born or ever will be born, their name has been in the Lamb's Book of Life. Mm-hmm. Now, every individual born in the world comes under the plan of salvation until that individual reaches the age of accountability. And then, I said, oh, we like sheep have gone astray. He returned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the individual does not receive the Christ as his personal Savior and rejects him, and God sees his doom because of his unbelief and rejection. Beloved, I believe that name is blotted out of the book of life forever. I'll not blot out his name as the statement here. That's the negative. You've got to have a positive somewhere. So, every soul that's born in the world is saved and saved until it comes to the age of accountability. He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And if Paul said he's the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Then when the time comes and the decision has been made by the individual, then God Almighty blots that name out of his book. That's my presentation of such as given here. All right, let's go to another one now. Drop down to verse 12. He that overcometh will I get a pillar in the temple of my God. Not a pillow, but a pillar. Something to support. Wouldn't you like to be designated as one of the important fixtures in God's economy? Now, what does this temple mean? I don't think he's referring to a real deity. I think it's similar to this over here in Revelation chapter 21, where he says there's no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. Then in God's worship service, in God's work, in God's great, great plan, the overcomer that receives this blessing will become a monument, a stalwart supporter, a man of recognized position in God's great work. When we begin to think of things like this, fellas, there's not a thing in this world that can be tired of the good blessings and promises God made for us. You may have seen something as far as the world is concerned, but we've arrived there. But this kind of business, you're building for the future. You're building for an eternity. You're building for that which is everlasting. An honor that will never end. Honor that will go on and on. An honor that comes from God. I like that kind of honor. Honor that man usually doesn't last very long. But not so with the Almighty. Make him a pillar in the temple of my God. I'd like to have some worthy position in the worship service of the Almighty and eternity. I like it here, don't you? I like it here. I would like to have a prominent place with the Lord. Yeah. You said, preacher, that's selfish. Well, I know it. I'm selfish and I admit it. But I still need it. Do you? The Lord doesn't ask us to work for him for nothing. You know that? Yeah. The disciples said, Lord, we left everything in front of me. What are we going to get out of it? The Lord said to you, there are enough houses and lands and wives and so on for me. You'll receive 100-fold in this life and then the eternal immortality. God doesn't ask you to work for him for nothing. Even a little cup of water given to you by some good caring person will not be overlooked. A cup of cold water is a good reward. God expects to pay you, and let me tell you that envelope is not one of these short change when you meet the Lord. And you can put in some overtime if you want and get overtime paid. Don't be satisfied with just the general bond. Put in extra. Put in extra. Work overtime for the Lord. And that pay envelope will bulls, and the Lord will take care of you. And I will write upon him my new name, in the name of my God, and the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which cometh down out of heaven from my God. You know, in this age, we live in the age when not long ago people said what they call the Greek business. I think I'll enjoy it. If I can get just a part of what's stated even out here, I will write upon him my name, in the name of my God, in the name of my truth. I've never seen the Almighty God, I've never seen the Christ. But through the years I've had the privilege of serving him, worshiping him, working for him. Some of these days I did life and I did enjoy some of those precious, intimate things that he talks about here in his divine book. Welcome, my Lord, thank you. Amen. 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 Amen.